This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in, everybody. Third and final hour of Sharp Money is underway live from Las Vegas at our South Point Sportsbook studio. Amal Shaw is here. Wyatt Tomczyk behind the glass. I'm Ben Wilson. Final score, Amal, and a change atop the division in the AL East. Would you believe this? Rangers knock off the Rays 5-1. Only a solo homer in the ninth keeps the Rays from getting shut out. John Gray looked amazing today. Minus 125 favorites there for the Rangers. Under 9.5 hits going away in a 5-1 win. And at the moment, Baltimore, with their win over the Dodgers, and all, they are ahead on percentage points of Tampa. They've come all the way back in the AL East.
Yeah, the Rays have really been struggling of late. We'll see if they can get back on track at some point in time. But right now, when I look at this team, I have some serious concerns with them offensively. That was the one thing I still thought was a little bit of an area of concern, Ben. They will score in what seems like one or two innings, and then they can't score most the rest of the game. And tonight they get a single run in the ninth inning.
And looking at the updated odds right now, Rays are still minus 170, Orioles plus 320 for those who are for at least interested in that. I'm kind of surprised it's not, come on, at this point, closer. I mean, the Rays have blown a huge lead. And
four-game series starting tomorrow.
Whew. Oh, boy, can't wait for that. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit of NBA. We'll also get into some tennis with our guy, Zach Cohen, who joins us right now, VSiN writer and editor. I still feel so bad that I missed you, Zach. You were here in person. Your maiden voyage out to Sin City, at least since you've been a VSiN employee, and I missed you. So I feel really bad. How was the whole Summer League experience for you? What were kind of your main takeaways there being over at the Thomas & Mack the last few days?
I thought it was really cool. I mean, it's a really interesting environment. It's almost like AAU where you're seeing players just walking around in their jerseys and shorts. It's very unique. And then it's almost like an NBA con in a way where there's just every single player's out there. So it's a pretty cool week to be out in Vegas. I was happy to be out there and meet everyone. As far as takeaways go, it's really not groundbreaking, but I thought Keontae George really blew me away for the Jazz. Just, a dynamic scorer that can, shoot the jumper from all over the court. I think he's going to get a chance to play some big minutes right away, especially if, they make a move with Colin Sexton. I'm not sure if they're going to, but George is a guy I'm looking at as a potential rookie of the year play. He's plus 7,500. I don't think there are that many players better than him as far as rookies go. So that's one I'm definitely looking at.
I really like Keontae George. Played at Baylor. This kid, he's from the Dallas area. He could really shoot the basketball. I think he's a guy you've really honed in on. That's a good call there. In terms of overall, is there anything that people can take by watching some of these players that may jump out to them that can maybe translate from a just overall betting standpoint? Or is it just basically like, hey, this is an opportunity for a lot of people to just go see some rookies play basketball?
I think there are things you could take away. I mean, I think in the case of like the Thunder, where, they're a center away from potentially becoming a playoff team, you see Chet go out there, do really well as a rim protector, flashed everything he flashed at Gonzaga offensively. That's a team that I'm looking at, maybe to go over 43.5 wins. And I think they're a playoff team. So, that's a guy that I think inserts right away into the starting lineup, makes them a better team. And then another one, I think a guy like Jarace Walker for the Indiana Pacers is another one that just looks ready to go as a role player right away. That's kind of what I looked for at Summer League, players that can make make an impact as a role player immediately rather than go out and score, in bunches.
What's interesting too, Zach, was how the rookie of the year market really flipped after Victor Wembanyama struggled in his first game as a pro in the U.S. stateside here, went down to minus 130. You saw how good Scoot Henderson looked in his debut for Portland before getting hurt. So you have Henderson at 4-1, then Holmgren in his first season after missing all last year with injury is plus 350, and then the number two pick Brandon Miller from Charlotte down at 12-1. From that market particularly, anything you would look to fire on right now, and is the Wembanyama dip worth a bet on at this point?
I was always looking to go against Wembanyama, not fading him in any way, but I wasn't interested in taking him at that number. I think he's a little bit further away offensively than people might think. I think his jumper looks really nice, but it wasn't that effective, in France. I think that he needs to get better there immediately. And I also think that he has a little bit to go in terms of getting stronger and being able to kind of bang with bigger players. So I do think there's some value in Scoot Henderson. I think there's some value in Brandon Miller. I really like Henderson as the play at plus 400. I think he's going to get a chance. They're going to roll out the ball to him. They're going to, he's going to be the guy right away. So I think he's going to play really well as a rookie. I think that Chet, maybe makes the Thunder a much better team, but I'm a little bit nervous as far as rookie of the year goes, the load management aspect of it.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point there with Scoot Henderson. He's going to be ball dominant. He's going to be able to put up some certain statistics that are going to be really impressive for people. Let's switch gears here a little bit. I just want to ask you, because I know you're a tennis guy.
Let's go.
It's U.S. Open, still a long way away. Anybody that kind of jumps out to you, obviously Joker and Alcaraz on the men's side. On the women's side, any other names that may stand out to you as well?
On the women's side, I was really surprised that Vondrousova was going at plus 3,500. Yeah. I know that the story of that match was kind of that Ange Jabeur gave it away. You know, she's the finalist three times that lost and really should have won. But Vondrousova is an elite tennis player, you know, probably a top 10 player. I don't think that anything that we saw at Wimbledon was a fluke. And I think that actually going to Flushing Meadows helps her a bit. I think she's 83-46 on hard courts in her career. She's a really, really good player. And I just think that that's a really good number to get on her. There's not, you know, 15 better players than her, 20 better players than her. And that's the way that the market sets it now.
So glad you brought that up. I told them all off air yesterday, Zach, that like I was totally wrong when Vondrousova was a French Open finalist, just because of how quirky her game is. I just figured as soon as players on tour got used to her style, she would kind of be a one-hit wonder and we wouldn't see her back on that stage. And I'm kind of happy to admit how wrong I was, because she's such a fun player to watch, crafty lefty. I love that you bring her up in that 35-1 range trying to defend her Wimbledon title. How about another player who skyrocketed, and it's kind of been in a different way than like a Vondrousova, more on the hype than the actual results, but Mira Andreeva, who's now trading at 20-1, I'm seeing. I still feel like that is kind of a ridiculous price for a 16-year-old who hasn't really done anything, but she took Madison Keys to the distance in the third round at Wimbledon, has shown some really good results so far. How do you expect her to look as she transitions to her first full U.S. hardcourt season?
That number jumped off the page to me too. It definitely feels a little bit low, but as far as Andreeva goes, I do think she'll probably win a slam like a lot sooner than we think. And it's going to be the type of thing where we're like, oh my God, a 17-year-old just won a grand slam. I think her game is really close to ready. I think that there are things that happened in that Keys match that kind of threw her off mentally, but there was a lot working against her there anyway. She's not a player that has a lot of experience on grass, almost has no experience on grass. And Keys, a player with a big serve, big forehand, that's a tough place to beat her. She'll translate a little bit better over to hard courts. And yeah, I think very soon she's going to be winning a slam.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This young girl, if you haven't seen her play, what, 16 years old, she is going to be extremely dangerous in the future going forward. On the men's side, Alcaraz has now jumped to the favorite against the Joker. Joker's made, I think, what, 9 of the last 10 semifinals or finals at Flushing Meadows, even though he's only won 3 times. How do you see this one? Alcaraz 125, Joker plus 160, and then Medvedev 6-1. Anybody else even that you might consider on the men's side?
The one that I'm considering, and it's not as a play to win, it's a play to like hope they get to the quarters or semis and hedge, is Andrei Rublev is up there at plus 4,000. Rublev is having a really good season, you know, arguably a career year. He won his first Masters 1000 title this year. He really took it to Djokovic at Wimbledon. That's not where he's supposed to play him well. You know, that's Djokovic, the king of grass. I know he lost to Alcaraz, but beating him there, you know, competing with him there is really tough. So I think Rublev showed a lot at Wimbledon. I think that he's not getting enough respect from the odds makers. I think there were 14 players listed above him in the odds. There's not 14 players better than Rublev. I think he's probably 7th or 8th best player in the world.
I made this point to him all, Zach, yesterday. Think about all the head cases too ahead of a guy in the odds board like Andrei Rublev. I mean, Tsitsipas, Zverev, Ruud, not his favorite surface on the hard court. It's Kyrgios is a complete wild card at 28-1. It's like you're right. There are fewer safer bets. At least it's just overall talent and what you're going to get mentally match in, match out them all than a guy like Andrei Rublev.
I agree with Zach in terms of talent, but when you say head case, Andrei Rublev's right up there with these guys.
Well, I mean,
there's no question about it. These guys go off the boil so quick.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
That's fair.
I mean, the reality is I always sit there and think, thank God these guys are all country club kids, because I don't think they could actually deal with any kind of adversity in life.
No way.
There was a match for, I think last year, Rublev really did make kind of like a complete 180 in terms of, you know, dealing with pressure on the court. But there was a match last year where something didn't go his way and he started hitting his own knee with his racket.
I thought he was going to.
I think that was the one at Indian Wells where he starts beating himself against Taylor Fritz.
I thought he was going to like break his leg.
Yeah, exactly.
No, so I get what you're saying. I know. And that doesn't look great. I still believe he's a guy who's made somewhat of a turnaround in the mental department. And look, at 40-1, it's definitely a longer shot. Again, Zach Cohen joining us right now. Give him a follow at Zico on the Twitter machine there. And Zach, you think about that, just the top of the odds board for the men's side real quick. So it was Djokovic probably going to trade at a minus money price had he won what I felt was a coin flip match against Carlos Alcaraz. It's just funny how we've gone back and forth. It felt like Alcaraz was way too big of a favorite in their French Open semifinal meeting. What happens? Djokovic wins, goes on to win the tournament. Flip side of the Wimbledon final, where Djokovic was probably too big of a favorite to begin with, got bet down. Then Alcaraz goes ahead and wins. Is this kind of the same thing where it's like, sure, Djokovic has been beaten now by Alcaraz in the tables of tournament, but should he not still be? I mean, he was what, even money before that loss in a coin flip five setter. Plus 160 feels a little bit rich of a swing all the way on a dip for Djokovic. And one, I don't know how you feel. I'd be happy to buy on that.
I think it could be a little bit closer in the market between the two, but I do think this is the closest we've gotten to what it should be since the beginning of the year. I went into kind of the French Open kind of agreeing with Alcaraz being, you know, a minus 200 favorite over Djokovic, and then we got the huge swing at Wimbledon. I wrote it up in my column for VSiN.com, and I thought it went way too far in the other direction. I think these two are very much on a level playing field, and I do think that I give a slight edge to Alcaraz on hard courts now, but yeah, I think this is as close as it's been, and I think it should be a little bit closer.
Yeah, fascinating to see how that will play out. So we have the men who go to Atlanta to start the true U.S. hardcourt swing next week. Women go to the City Open in D.C. along with the men. Those will be 500-level events in a week's time. So excited for that. Zach will have full match-by-match breakdowns of all those in his daily plays as we get into the hardcourt season. Zach's done a great work since joining the team, so glad to have him aboard.
It's great. I love the information. I love your passion for tennis as well.
Amal and I were tennis guys, Zach. So, you know, we come from a good place. I omitted the underscore, by the way. My bad, Zico. Underscore Zico, where you can find Zach on Twitter. Amal and I are going to have to discuss that, the whole Zhang Shuai situation as well, Zach. Because, I mean, what an absolute travesty that was. We're going to talk about that in our final hour. Zach, thank you so much for stopping by, though. I'm sure we'll be checking in with you many a time before the U.S. Open tennis gets underway.
Yep, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Zhang Shuai thing, if you have not seen that, we will talk about it next. It is one of, and especially as it relates to, because this was a big sports betting thing too. If you had, let's say you had a bet on what happened in the tennis, this is one of the most ridiculous displays or lack thereof of sportsmanship I have ever seen in a professional tennis match. We'll give a short discussion on that when we come back right here on VSiN Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Always love getting some tennis banter in with Zach Cohen. Has done an outstanding job since he joined the team a few months ago. I give him a follow again at underscore Zico. A lot of content from him still to come over this hard court summer tennis season. And just had to bring up them all. What happened yesterday, just crazy situation in the Hungarian Open that has drawn a lot of scorn across the women's game, where Zhang Shuai, who is a popular player on the women's tour, she's playing in a 5-5 match first set against Kiara Toth, who is a Hungarian, had the crowd behind her. Clay court match there, WTA 250, low-level tournament first round. So Shuai hits a point, a cross-court forehand that looks pretty clearly in, hits the side of the line. Now on clay, if the lines person calls it out, they don't do the Hawkeye Challenger. They just have the line judge, the chair ump, come down and look at it. So the lines person calls it in first, then says out. Shuai's like, wait, well, no way, that was clearly in. Right. Ask the chair ump to come look at it. Chair ump gets down off her chair. She does like two steps toward the line and goes, no, it was out.
Yeah.
Shuai comes up to the net and she goes, what are you looking at? The ball I can see it right here. It was clearly in. The player she's playing against, Kiara Toth, comes over and literally wipes away the mark with her foot. And the crowd starts booing Zhang Shuai, the Chinese player. And she decided, and I give her so much credit for this, she decided to shake the hand of the ump, shake the hand of the player, and she retired on the spot. She said, I'm not playing.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I did like the fact that she shook hands with both parties. But to me, based on the way she's played this year, she needs as many matches as possible.
Now that's another story. It's not been a good year for Zhang Shuai.
But you know, getting back just to kind of finish the bow on tennis here, the clay court is so terrible. It looks like it's in or not. I mean, can we not, you've got millions of dollars at stake for these players. Can we not at least use the Hawkeye or at least real bounce in terms of the technology for the review?
It's been the best thing from the betting perspective. It's been the best. I mean, forget betting for a second, just the sport in general. Like the introduction of the Hawkeye has been the best thing from a review system of any sport we have seen. And yet clay court tennis continues to live in the stone ages, basically, as if to say, you know, we don't really need it. Now, at least a lot of books will force, you know, if you're betting offshore, you usually need the match to go like go the distance.
Yeah, somewhere.
Some books it is just one set. So correct. For most people betting, this was no action. It's not like he got screwed and lost with Zhang Shuai. Not like she was winning the match anyway. It was 5-all. But it's like for something like that, I can't remember ever seeing a display of sportsmanship that bad. Where Tatha was literally cheering, like she raised her arms as soon as Shuai retired. And again, say what you want about her decision to retire in the match. Like it's one bad call. There are certain coaches who would say, you know what, just hit the ball. Like my high school tennis coach would say, hit the ball 5 feet inside the line next time. don't even leave it to chance. Because
yeah, exactly.
There was hooking involved all sorts of time in junior tennis. But still, the point being, I can't remember seeing anything as bad as that. And it's been rightfully so, that a lot of women's players on tours have been extremely upset. It's Miss Toth, the early Hungarian.
Yeah, look, she's ranked 548th in the world. I mean, she's not going anywhere fast. She's got to try and steal every win she can get. But speaking of things that are offensive, I just saw Adam Duvall try and run from first to third base on a bad pitch. Excuse me, on a bad throw over in the Oakland A's Boston Red Sox game. And I'll tell you, I mean, right now, I don't think I've seen a slower runner. I mean, that dude looked like he was carrying a piano on his back getting from second to third. He makes it in there because the ball in Oakland, that's one of the things I love, is the foul territory is so great. Yeah. I mean, it took forever for them to chase it down, and now you wind up with a runner on third. But the Sox right now trailing 6-4 in Oakland on a beautiful sunny day in the Bay.
That was a game where both teams scored two runs in the first inning. Balls have been flying, and the latest, I believe this was an over, just double-checking from our odds board, because we talk about one Florida team really struggling out of the break, the Tampa Bay Rays. Another team in Florida really struggling as well out of the break, the Miami Marlins, who go down 6-4 today to the St. Louis Cardinals. It's Santi Alcantara got lit up early, gave up a four spot right away in the first inning. That did go over them all. 8.5 was the total. 6-4 final behind Dakota Hudson and the St. Louis Cardinals, who win. It's basically a coin flip today. And you just have to wonder now for the Miami Marlins, who entering today, if you looked at their position in the wild card standings, we're sitting even with the Philadelphia Phillies. Now they've dropped a half game back, have lost five straight. And we mentioned now there's two teams really right now, Miami and Arizona, who are pretty much in the even money range to make the playoffs. And you got to be concerned with what you're seeing them all out of the Marlins after all those one run wins they had first half of the year.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But I think right now when you look at it, you know, I was going through the Cardinals schedule last night. With the loss today, I don't know. They've got enough games. They play Milwaukee for seven games. The schedule is not that daunting. This loss today makes six in a row for the Marlins now. This team is in a lot of trouble. I just think they kind of did a little bit with smoke and mirrors, but they get the Rockies in a good spot on Friday. I can tell you right now, Ben, you got Connor Seabold going against Braxton Garrett. I think this is a great spot to bet the fish on Friday if you can just kind of bookmark it for a play you want to make on a team on a six-game losing streak coming off the road. They'll have a day in between, which is very important. So I think it'll be a good opportunity for them. To me, though, you're right. This team, I'm just not sure they're going to be able to sustain themselves. And by the way, the Phillies quietly are making some strides. Not that they're going to catch Atlanta, but overall in terms of National League wild card, they're right there.
How good did Aaron Nola look last night, by the way? I mean, he just mowed down Milwaukee. He barely broke a sweat on a hot and humid night. I get the Brewers have no hitting. That's the issue.
Yeah, the Brewers don't really count. That's AAA.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that, AAA Oshkosh's team? I mean,
Nashville. It used to be the Nashville Sounds. I think it's the Colorado Springs Sky Sox.
Yeah, I don't know. I just figured this team plays in Oshkosh based on the way the offense is. It's so bad.
Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, single A affiliate them all. You got to drop all the way down to single A.
What city is that one in?
That is in Appleton. It's in the Appleton Fox Valley. Appleton, Oshkosh. It's, you know, you're allowed to call it all the same.
Some of the great names ever are in the state of Wisconsin of cities.
Yes.
Oh, it is pretty impressive.
But, you know, you look right now, Dodgers lose today, fine, no big deal. Padres get that easy win against who's the guy for the Blue Jays?
Not Brees, Manoa last
Manoa,
night.
Thank Manoa, you. Looks, Manoa. Yeah. But, you know, the NL looks like it's starting to be top heavy. Atlanta, the Dodgers, Milwaukee, San Francisco's playing great baseball. Nobody's talking about this team. They've won seven in a row. I mean, they just continue to sizzle. And now with the loss today by the Dodgers, I believe they're tied in the loss column with LA. So they've got an opportunity here. This team just is absolutely flying. I mean, you talk about a team. They won three World Series in 10, 12, and 14. And the Giants are just an afterthought. I thought arguably the best performance of any team this year in a series was the Giants. in Los Angeles, where they went into Dodger Stadium and just beat the brakes off the Dodgers.
Yeah. One back now of LA, one back in both the win and loss columns of the San Francisco Giants. But you look at some of the streaks too, where Phillies won four straight. Marlins actually today was their sixth straight loss. So Marlins now a game back of the Phillies for that final wild card spot in the live standings. Reds have lost six straight. They're three back in the wild card. We only really view them though as a contender in the NL Central, as the Reds now sit at the moment here, 2.5 back in Milwaukee. So that's where it kind of turns into, like, San Diego is finally able to right the ship them all. You called their season over on Saturday. They're 7.5 back in the wild card. If the St. Louis Cardinals somehow make the playoffs, I will quit watching baseball for like 6 months. As someone who has had to suffer my entire life with these ridiculously bad St. Louis teams that find ways to somehow get in the playoffs and then make deep runs, I'm still not over the 2011 playoff run where the St. Louis Cardinals were objectively bad.
And they beat the Rangers.
And somehow, they destroyed the Brewers, who had owned them in the regular season, and the NLCS beat the Rangers on just a miraculous sequence.
You can think
of
my beloved
sequence.
Atlanta Braves for blowing like a 9.5 wild card game lead that year.
Yeah,
yes,
that
that's
was a
right.
miserable.
Can you make it something more intriguing so then I can start paying attention to the Cardinals for the final 60 games?
I know, right?
Like him stopping watching baseball doesn't do anything for me. So if it was something more interesting, I would get behind the Cardinals right now.
I'll bike to the next broadcast I have in Worcester, Massachusetts. There you go.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
If the Cardinals make the playoffs.
No. We're going to hide your little cloth that you have for your phone.
People don't know about my OCD? High-functioning OCD. I got to have this cloth to keep, like, my screen. You will not find a person with a cleaner iPad, laptop screen than me. And I would lose my mind if it was taken away. That's actually pretty good, Wyatt.
That's pretty good. I actually give you credit. I don't care if it's OCD. I just like the cleanliness. But, you talk about these teams right now. I don't think the Cardinals can necessarily make a push. They're too far behind, but the schedule is not bad. Again, I was looking up the 78 Yankees, who were 14 games behind the Red Sox, and then they win that playoff game. They actually had a 3.5 game lead in September, and when they end up going on to win the World Series, the additional game against the Red Sox with a Bucky Dent homer. But so the number of games back is not out of the question, but the problem right now for me is, can St. Louis play consistently enough? The talent is still there. Milwaukee's offense scuffling so much, I don't think it's something that you can necessarily count against. Look, they've got 7 games coming up on the road at the Cubs and against the Diamondbacks. Then they've got 4 more at the Cubs at home. Yeah, I don't know. Look, they've got 7 games against Milwaukee. You'd have to go 6-1, probably, in my opinion, to be able to make a push. I don't know. In baseball, you never know. Look, Tampa looked like they were absolutely unfallible in the first 8 weeks of the season. Now, all of a sudden, the Rays look like they're holding on for dear life in the American League East.
Sure. And you think about some teams now where you could make a case to buy the dip or back the current winning streak. Giants are a great case of a team that's won 7 straight. We'll talk about the slate in the next segment for the games today, because you have the Giants, who are red hot, Reds, who are ice cold. Reds, who couldn't score coming out of the break, finally got the bats to work, but lose a marathon yesterday as they lose their 6th straight game today. So Graham Ashcraft goes for the Reds against Ross Stripling. That's one of several money line coin flip type games for later on today. We'll talk about the whole slate as a whole for their games still to get underway, with first pitches in a little over an hour's time. That is next when we return right here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Download the DraftKings app today, and new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonuses instantly. Use promo code VSiN when you sign up. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. We still have a bunch of Major League Baseball still to come later on today. Back with Amal Shaw, I'm Ben Wilson from Las Vegas, our South Point Sportsbook studio. A big thanks to the whole crew as well. Jeremy Wengel, Isaiah Wrinkle, our technical directors, Rob Moreno hanging out as well, Michelle Delgadillo on graphics, Sean McCollum on audio, and Wyatt Tomczyk will not be with us tomorrow, so we had to make sure to get some Packer. Any Wisconsin talk is good, Amal. So.
We got Gone Racing tomorrow, so.
That is
big,
what you're
big
doing.
Big picker had a really good day. Now we're only minus 20 units, but we're closing on Motley. Brendan Gaughan is like miles ahead of us right now.
I don't really understand anything you just said other than you're down 20.
Yeah, it's all I got, too.
We had some bad luck. We had just some fortunate. The tire did not go our way.
Didn't you have the bet on the guy, the random guy, the international guy who won in the road race in Chicago in the rain?
That was my personal bet.
Brendan, I know Jeremy Wengel was on.
Yeah, he
that,
did.
Was
he,
on
hit, he hit him pretty
that
well.
That was crazy.
Brendan had him, Shane Van Gisbergen.
Okay, sure.
11-1 to finish top 3. That's why he's like miles ahead of us right now.
Interesting. Okay, well, that went right over our heads. I am recording the Amaldi VSiN F1 betting podcast with our guy, Mikhail Miranda, after we wrap up today. So, Hungarian Grand Prix this week. catch the action. Get ready for it.
Let me guess, Verstappen is going to win.
Sure. Yeah, probably.
Minus 500.
He's minus like 300 already. Probably will be higher. Rest of the baseball card for tonight, though. I mentioned out of that break, Amal, we have the Ross Stripling for San Francisco, Graham Ashcraft for Cincinnati matchup tonight. Giants have won 7 straight. Reds have lost 6 straight. Last night, you get the crazy back and forth. Giants win 11-10. Two of the teams who scored 10-plus runs yesterday, two of the 12 yesterday in Major League Baseball. What would you do with this one where it's basically a pick'em? We've seen balls flying out of the yard all over the place, especially at the Hitter's Paradise of Great American Ballpark, where a total now is sitting at 10.5. Some books, including DraftKings, have touched 11 with underjuice.
Yeah, I think this is one where you'd potentially look at just betting a over here. 5-5, it's very possible. Ashcroft just pitched well. That's the only concern I have. Or maybe you like the Reds to get back on track. But right now, both teams, you know, we saw the breakout last night, 21 runs. Giants are playing extremely well. It's hard to take an under in this ballpark with this weather right now in the middle of July. I mean, it's the ideal hitting conditions if you're looking at it from an offensive standpoint.
That's why it's funny, too, you mentioned that, because there's another game I'm looking at that, like, I'm really tempted to to look at an under, but it's like when you go to Philadelphia, you think about Citizens Bank Park in July, where yesterday, I mean, Kyle Schwarber basically hit a pop-up leading off the game that went yard to right. Left center. So hard to look at unders in those certain situations, especially when you factor in how the balls have been flying
sure.
right out of the yard since the All-Star break. So if anything, I would probably look at maybe like a first 5 under for these if it's pitching matchups that I like. And Colin Rea goes for Milwaukee, who's been an unheralded guy. He's a journeyman, played overseas a lot of years with a lot of different organizations, but he's one of those guys who's better the first couple times through the order. Generally don't see him go more than about 5 innings at all. He's a guy whose stuff starts to get hit as he goes third time through the order, but more of a ground ball pitcher. I like his stuff against Philadelphia today. And you think about who's on the other side here, Christopher Sanchez, the lefty, and Milwaukee has just, I mean, Milwaukee's been abysmal hitting against lefties, righties, you name it. So as much as it scares me to look at an under, I'd be tempted at a first 5 if you wanted to have the gumption there. It's 9 for the full game. I see 1 or 2 5s out there in the market. There's mostly 4.5, so try to shop around there. But if you could find 5, I'd actually look at a first 5 under there.
Yeah, I'm not generally a guy who plays the first 5 innings, but it's not a bad bet at all because it's going to take a 6 to beat you if you're looking to make this bet. And if you're betting it and it goes to 6 in the first 5, chances are you're probably going to get beat for the game total itself.
Yeah, for sure.
But my whole argument against the first 5 is this. I don't want to get beat in a situation based on 1 inning. I think pitchers are so good at the major league level that you can overcome a crooked number inning. Pitcher settles in. And over the long haul of the game, you have an opportunity to still stay under. So that's one of the reasons I'm a big advocate of the whole game. But I, you know, Reyes pitched decent. I'm not a big Colin Rea guy. This Phillies team, though, continues to play well. Milwaukee with a great opportunity, right? They come up. They did lose the game last night, but overall, they're feeling pretty good where they're at just in terms of their performance. They win against the Reds 3 in a row. And if you go back to the previous Sunday, that was 4 in a row. Now you got a Phillies team. You're not going to be really competing with them for the wild card that much because I think when you look at it from a standing standpoint, well, actually they are because they're only
technically, right.
I mean, I'm kind of looking at the division perspective, but the Phillies at 52-42, Milwaukee at 52-43. So it is an important game from a wild card standpoint. If you could somehow manage to win this game and worst case scenario, you lose tomorrow, you only drop a game against the Phillies. And if the Giants continue to do some work for you, and it's a great situation for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Sure, if you were to insert any team from the AL East, per se, who would be first place in the NL Central, Brewers right now would be a half game back of Philadelphia for the final wild card spot. So, yeah, still, even though we kind of view this NL Central race as being one where the team who wins will be the one representative of that division in the playoffs, with how Miami has struggled, with how Arizona has started to fall back to earth. There's a case to be made. You could find a world in which, especially with San Diego looking very, very mediocre, where a Milwaukee or Cincinnati could somehow get in as that third wild card team. I don't think you or I view that as being likely, but it's certainly a possibility.
No question about it.
And so I look at that first 5 under. Fives are out in the market, and Christopher Sanchez has been good. 3.26 ERA with a 3.39 expected fielding independent pitching. The lefty for Philadelphia Brewers. Third worst team in the major leagues in the WRC plus metric against lefties this year. Going through the rest of the card, we mentioned Milwaukee, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Cincinnati, couple games with postseason implications. You were on the Braves run line last night, and I mean, again, I thought as soon as they put up a 5 spot in the first, you were lights out, close the door. Well, now Charlie Morton goes up, takes the bump for Atlanta against Ryan Nelson of Arizona. Another big price today for Atlanta. It's over a $2 favorite. 10 is the total after the two teams combined for 29 runs last night.
I've got This is an interesting matchup with Morton going. I think this is another spot where you could come back with the Braves run line. I think this is another good opportunity, Ben, simply because Morton's been good. He's been effective. Nelson's had his issues. Atlanta's on a 3-game losing streak. I think this is a good spot again for the Braves. I would lay the run and a half here. I don't want to lay 220. And here's one of the reasons why I advocate the run line so much. Last night's a perfect example. So you lose the play on the Diamond. Diamondbacks win the game. So Atlanta loses in terms of the bet. But you're not laying nearly the number you're laying. Last night was 115. Why would you want to lay 220 and lose a game when you can, if in theory you lose the game at minus 120? Yes, you can argue you can win the game by one run. But over the course of a year, you come out so much further ahead based on the math.
Sure, I totally get it, especially where, last night. I mean, think about where Atlanta was at. But with the variance in that game, too, you're expecting, like, how it played out early. Either Atlanta wins that game going away, or we saw what happened, where the bullpen implodes and you lose.
I mean, you're up 11-8 in the top of the fifth. And it's not even just that. If I told you before the game the Braves are going to score 13 runs.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, okay,
Elder?
Yeah, exactly.
And
you're like,
bullpen?
I'm taking that all day. And unfortunately for this team, didn't work out that way. They did give up 2 unearned runs, but still, it was just a missed opportunity by Atlanta's pitching staff. I think they bounced back with Morton on the bump tonight.
Probably the pitching matchup of the night, though, is going to be, we have, well, I'd say two you could make a case for. The one I'm really interested in, kind of as an underrated great pitching matchup tonight, Kenta Maeda of Minnesota against Luis Castillo of Seattle. And you look at the card, Amal, that is your lowest total on the board for these night games. 7.5 the total juiced under with the Mariners about $1.50 money line favorite on the road. They try to bounce back after spot in their own right to the Twins at home last night.
Yeah, they absolutely got shelled. Seattle right now at 47-47, not playing particularly well. They got to start to make some headway because the Texas Rangers just continue to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now in terms of the wild card, that's probably going to be their best option, but they're 4.5 games back with Boston, New York, the Angels in front of them. It's a pretty crowded field.
About to be 5 back since Houston has a 4-0 lead on Colorado in the ninth. So
yeah,
assuming that holds, would be 5 back. And I've been totally wrong on Seattle. I love them coming out of the All-Star break to get hot, and they have squandered that opportunity for sure.
Yeah, you know, look, they're still in a position to be able to make a run. All they have to do is get to the postseason. I think this team is dangerous with the pitching that they have, but you're right. Maeda going in this one against Castillo. Great opportunity for the M's here, in my opinion, to get back on track after getting shelled last night. And it's not a bad price right now with the Castillo on the bump at 144. I think this is one where I would look at the Mariners here.
Sure.
You mentioned Maeda. I'm not as high of a Kenta Maeda guy as maybe some other people may be. Forget the numbers, but he's been a little bit inconsistent this year. Now, he did have an outlier of a game where he gave up 10 runs against the Yankees. Last start, only 3 innings pitched, but let's see how long he lasts in this one.
And Minnesota just continue to get gifts in that AL Central, where the Guardians blew a 4-0 lead today on the road against Pittsburgh. Aaron Civale was cruising until he wasn't. So Minnesota goes into this game tonight now, I'm all with a 2-game lead, and they are literally 2 games over 500 in the division.
Ben, you brought up a really good point. You got Civale on the bump today. If you're the Guardians, good opportunity to gain a game potentially against the Twinkies if they were to drop this game tonight against the M's. Look, I'm not saying you got to win every game against Pittsburgh. That's not realistic. But when you've already dominated, the offense scored 21 runs in the first 2 games. You feel like you're on track. A good scenario, a good opportunity to be able to start to make some headway in this division. I still think the Guardians, they've got 3 games coming up against the Phillies, then they've got the Royals and the White Sox. I still personally feel the Guardians are going to win this division.
I felt that way going before the All-Star break. And every time it's a classic 2-step forward, 1 giant step back team. They just can't get out of their own way, Amal. And today the latest example of that.
Now you're absolutely right. Today was a missed opportunity. But the one thing I love about this in baseball, as long as you're within a few games, a handful of games, you're going to have an opportunity going down to the stretch. I mean, it's still a long way to go.
There most definitely is a long way to go. The 2 games still going on. Astros lead the Rockies 4-0 going to the bottom of the ninth. A's and Red Sox has been a back-and-forth game. A's up 6-5 there in the top of the seventh. We'll come back. Final baseball thoughts on the card. I'll run through real quick my Open Championship plays, which gets you underway late tonight on the West Coast, early tomorrow morning on the East Coast as we wrap things up. One more segment for us still to come right here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NFL betting guide is out now, and our college football guide is coming in just a couple weeks. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and NFL seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on futures and season win totals. Sign up before the end of July and receive both guides and full VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl at an early bird discount of $175. Or sign up on a monthly subscription and get your first 30 days for only $19 to see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. This offer ends July 31st, so don't miss out on these preseason deals. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. As we welcome you back for the final time. Been great hanging out with Amal Shah. I'm Ben Wilson. You and I are back tomorrow. We'll have Brian Ortega in the saddle behind the glass. Because why? What, you got to handle a little Gone Racing. Is that the thing? That what you're
Gone
doing
Racing. Race this week at Pocono.
Our NASCAR betting show. You have any bets you want to throw out for the viewers?
So for me with NASCAR, I wait till qualifying in practice. It's
kind of like, you're just like Mikhail with Formula One.
It is. But you know, like last week, Kyle Busch wrecked in qualifying in practice. You know what? You're like, okay, this is a guy that you want to stay away for a win and whatnot. I still bet him for a top 10 because he's Kyle Busch and winds up wrecking 50 laps in. Those are the type of things I want to look at. Who's got a good, you know, practice average, 10 to 20 laps.
Fair. So fair. I give it to you there. As far as the rest of the baseball slate, one other game I just wanted to get your thoughts on quick, Amal, since this was a pitching matchup that in 2018 would have been like, all right, ace versus ace. But the decline of Jose Berríos has been very much pronounced over the last couple seasons. And so that's why you have a total of 9 tonight. Yu Darvish and the Padres against Jose Berríos and the Blue Jays. So we saw the return of Alek Manoah was maybe a little bit premature. One good start against a really bad hitting team in the Tigers. The Padres, after getting swept by Philadelphia over the weekend, were all over Manoah and the Blue Jays last night. And seeing pretty much a pick'em, market has gone, hasn't really made a decision here. It's minus 120 consensus on the Blue Jays tonight with a total of 9 there. And that's to me, is a really fascinating handicap.
Yeah, I'm not a big Yu Darvish guy. I've always thought he's been a bit overrated, because he's got 8 million different pitches. None of them seem to be effective. Yeah. Didn't pitch too badly against Philadelphia over the weekend. Goes 6 innings, gives up 1 earned run, but he's been inconsistent. 1 earned run, 3-4, and 6-4 in his last 5 starts. This Blue Jays team had been playing well until getting the hiccup last night with Manoah on the mound against Joe Musgrove, who Musgrove has been the second best pitcher in baseball over the last 8 weeks. But this is not a game I would touch. You mentioned Berríos on the other side. His numbers are not bad. ERA 3.42, yeah. But last 2 starts, 12 and a third innings pitch, just a 1 earned run, and 2 base on balls. So might be a pretty decent spot if you like the Blue Jays to bounce back. Again, Ben, now this is one because the price is so low, I probably would not look at the run line if I took the Jays. But, plus 170 is always intriguing. I think so many times people get scared off. They'll make a play on the run line, lose the game, and be like, oh, I don't want to bet it. It's going to happen again, or you got beat by it. But over the course of a season, the majority of these teams outside of the Miami Marlins who don't have a ton of offense, they win their games by 2 runs or more.
And you think about Toronto now, as much as we've talked about this whole battle at the top of the AL East with Baltimore surge, Tampa struggles have opened Toronto very much back into the race. Toronto can get to within 4.5 if they're able to win tonight. 6-1 right now to win the division. They are in pretty good position to at least be in the wild card berth, one of the 3 in the AL. Is that a team you view has a legit shot here if the pitching is able to get more consistent and Berríos avoid some of the regression that the advanced stats would say he is going to?
Yeah, Gausman's been outstanding for this team. He's been an AL Cy Young contender. I like this team because of the offense. Guerrero. Bichette's been an MVP candidate in any other year outside of what Ohtani's doing. He's been great. I think when you look in the American League, there's no team anybody should look at and say, I'm concerned about Texas. I'm concerned about Tampa, Baltimore, Toronto, Minnesota or Cleveland in the Central, Houston. To me, it's wide open. You can justify Seattle right now. Wyatt, if you could have them throw up the graphics on the American League pennant right now in terms of the odds. And Ben, I think there's an argument to be made for multiple teams, especially anybody on some long shots. There's nobody who should be a prohibitive favorite at this point in time.
Totally agree, especially with how the Rays have come back to earth. Astros, by the way, just 1-4-1 win, beating Austin Gomber of the Rockies. Astros is a minus 160 favorite, way under there at Coors during in a day game, under 12.5. But the Astros are second choice at plus 425. Doesn't it kind of feel like, it's one of those things where I always hate to be that better who is not in love with a team preseason that a lot of smart people seem to be on. Then that team, and I'll use the Texas Rangers as this year's example, gets off to a great start, and I go, all right, well, I don't want to just admit defeat right away. I can't help but think, though, that with the lack of postseason experience, Rangers will be a team I look to fade once they get to October.
Yeah, it's not a bad point at all. I think that's something they could run into a hiccup with. Mariners right now 30-1. The Guardians at 25-1. Ben, these are two teams that I would potentially make plays on because the Guardians have to win their division. I think they'll be able to get in that route. As I said, I believe they're going to win it. And the M's are dangerous. They have the pitching with Castillo. The Kirby's been outstanding. This
Gilbert,
team,
Gilbert, Wu.
I mean, this team's got some opportunities here in terms of the pitching staff. So if you want a long shot and you get in the postseason, we've seen what Philadelphia was able to do. We've seen some other teams in the past, and you can just hedge off the play and, you know, put yourself in a position to be profitable.
How do you feel now that we've had the rule change for the postseason about taking some of these longer shots when instead of just the one-off wild card game, now it is all best of three game series, which I do feel like changes the calculus a little bit.
You're absolutely right. It does, because it gives a huge advantage to an underdog in a one game scenario. Anybody can be beaten. I still think a three game series in baseball is short.
Yeah.
Because you're only talking, I mean, you could have a great outing and you could have your next starter just go out there and throw six innings. A bullpen takes it from there. You could easily beat a team in two games out of three very comfortably and just play well in that small stretch. It's just, you know, Derek Jeter used to say it best. He goes, it's not the team that's hottest throughout the course of the year, the best team. He goes, it's the team that's hottest in October.
Sure. I can't help but think back to when the Nationals won the World Series, they had to play in a one and done game to start the wild card round. If Trent Grisham does not slip in the outfield turf.
Yeah.
Milwaukee wins that game. Nationals are donezo, one and done, and we never have the legacy conversations that we've had about that Nats team.
No, you're absolutely right. And I mean, think about this in the World Series. All seven games were won on the road between the Astros and the Nationals. I mean, so the home field advantage should not concern anybody. I think baseball, just like hockey, probably has the least benefit of being home. Obviously, you'd rather be at home than on the road, but still, I think there's some opportunities here when you look in the American League. Even in the National League, I would say there's some opportunities there as well. Milwaukee, they've got the pitching, lack of offense, but remember, the postseason tends to be lower scoring games. You don't have a ton of those 11-10s like we saw in three games last night. So for me, there's some teams you can take a look at and not be fearful. Even the Blue Jays at 7-1.
Right. Well, as far as Milwaukee goes in that NL pennant, you got to see Brandon Woodruff back healthy and looking effective to really feel good about a bet. But that's the point of all with the pitching they have. If they are able to all get healthy, it's a team you don't want to see in regardless of any sort of series. Once you're down to more of a three-man rotation. Again, the one game still to go going on right now. A's 6, Red Sox 5 in the bottom of the 7th. So you're looking at least for tonight, going back to the well, Braves run line here, and then taking a piece of Luis Castillo and the Mariners at about $1.44 price.
Yeah, going up against Nelson here in a good spot for this team. Lost 3 in a row. This offense is. I mean, look, it wasn't the problem of the offense last night. 13 runs. That has to be the highest. That was the highest output of any team this year to lose a game. So now you've got an opportunity with this team. Offense is fine. They'll bounce back on the pitching side with Morton on the bump tonight. I like the Braves run line -120. And then Castillo going in this one today for Seattle against Kenta Maeda -144. I'll probably, knowing myself, I'll probably end up taking the run line here with Seattle.
Right now you can get about a +145 price there on the Mariners. The one thing I am looking at here, you can get shop around. You can get under first five, Colin Ray from Milwaukee, Christopher Sanchez for Philadelphia there at Citizens Bank Park. That's one that starts in just under an hour with the Phillies. About $1.35 favorite. 9 is the full game total there. Real quick before we wrap up them all, just to run through my Open Championship plays, want to give those out for the 151st Open. Starts at Royal Liverpool early tomorrow morning on the East Coast. 1:35 a.m. Eastern time is the first tee time. Nice for us. We get to stay up late. I know you'll be up playing poker probably, so you'll probably have the TVs on in the background.
I will check out the Open Championship. Look, golf, I think, is one of the best sports on television.
Yes.
Because they just go from hole to hole to hole. Like, to me, I can't believe people go there and bunker down on one hole.
It's a really difficult spectator sport because you have no idea what's happening. It's fun. I love going to tournaments like at Torrey Pines when it's not a major, and you can just enjoy. You can follow some golfers, but for a major, it's tough. I like Brooks Koepka to win the tournament. Best number you can find out there is 24-1 on Koepka. Shopping around a guy who has the Open experience, the pedigree, having played his entire junior youth career overseas in the European Tour to begin, and is looking to get a first claret jug. But Koepka's a guy who checks all the boxes at a very wide open, especially a weather impeded type of course that we're going to see at Hoylake. Love his low ball flight, how it'll play on these driving holes that are requiring a lot of accuracy, but also his distance accuracy combo will be a big threat. Took him as well, top 20 at +105. wanted to go with somebody who has a lot of open championship pedigree and experience and is a really good all-around player in Shane Lowry. Also very consistent, above average off the tee in his accuracy. Took him plus 140 to finish in the top 20, the 2019 Open champ. Taylor Gooch, a live player at plus 260 to go top 20. And then Brian Harman, top 40 at plus 125. I really like Gooch's form, winning three times on the live tour this year. Harman, one of the most accurate strikers of the ball off the tee, and has done really, really well on links courses in the past. The lefty has has multiple T20s at the Open, finished T26 the last time the Open was at Hoylake in 2014. And there we go. Open Championship.
Perfect. Can't
Let's
wait.
Go, Mal.
Should be a lot of fun. Hopefully.
By the way, will it be? Is John Isner going to play in Atlanta, by the way, next week? Speaking of ATP, is that just going to be the auto bet of the every time the tournament calendar goes to Atlanta, you just bet John Isner to win that thing?
I don't know if you can as much anymore.
He is getting up there in age.
Yeah.
I will admit. I saw he's playing in Newport today, so that's interesting to watch. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. I'm Amal Shah. I'm Ben Wilson. Wyatt Tomchek. We say so long from this latest edition of VSiN's Sharp Money.